Why were we created in the first place? How did we get here? And also, what's our purpose in life? How can we know any of these things? A God of Abraham, a God of Moses, a God of Jesus. Who are you talking about? How may we know this God? Who is this God related to? Allah ordered Muhammad, peace be upon him, Qul, say to them, he is Allah alone, without any partners. This is one of the most important facets of Islam. Islam, like a precious gem, has many beautiful facets. Explore with us now the facets of Islam. Assalamu alaikum rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I'm your host, Yusuf Estes, and for the next few minutes, we're going to be talking about one of the many beautiful facets of Islam. Today's program is very special because we're dealing with one of the keys, one of the biggest and most beautiful of all the facets in Islam. In Arabic, it's called Rahmah. And we usually translate it into English as mercy. But mercy in itself doesn't really carry the depth of this word, so I'd like to explore it for a moment in the Arabic language. It comes from a root, rahama. This is the root for so many beautiful things that we learn from the Arabic language. And Rahma can be mercy. Rahim, coming from the same root, is graciousness and specific mercy. We learn about the Arham, the Raham and Arham, which is the womb or wombs inside of the mother. And in Arabic, it's understood to be the place of mercy, that a human being is conceived in mercy, in the place of mercy in their mother. Many beautiful words coming from this. But specifically today, I want to deal with the ramification and the effect that this Rahma has on the human beings. And in fact, all of the creation, all of the creatures of Allah are in this beautiful Rahma. In the Quran, we find 114 surahs or chapters. And we find these words, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, 114 times. At the beginning of each of the surahs, except Surah Tawbah, chapter 9, we find this statement, in the name of Allah, the most gracious or the most merciful, the most benevolent, so many choices you can use and still not get the depth of Ar-Rahman. And then Ar-Rahim, specifically gracious, benevolent, merciful. And by the way, there is this mention of Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim in one of the other surahs in a letter written by Suleiman. So we find we do have 114 times this statement in the name of Allah, the most gracious, the most merciful. Now, when we talk about this mercy, I would like to share with you something that the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told us about the mercy, to help you get a better picture about it. Only one of the words, the Rahman. Now, we're going to talk about this Rahman. One time he was going with his companions, they were traveling along, and he pointed to a lady who had a baby. And he said to them, would this lady allow that her baby be thrown into a fire? And they were shocked. They said, no way, man. That never going to happen. Never, never, never. He said, this is because of her Rahman, and this Rahman is from Allah's Rahman. It's from his mercy, and that every creature there is, every woman that ever was, and all of the mercy for all of the babies, since the beginning of time to the end of time, all through the universe, always, any mercy, it's all actually from Allah's mercy that he's bestowed on the earth. Now, then what he said, and that's only one part of Allah's mercy. He has 100 parts, and all of this that we know about in the universe is really only one. The other 99 parts of Allah's mercy are waiting for the believer on the day of judgment. This is very special for us. I want you to stop and think for a minute. In other religions, when they talk about salvation, how will you be saved? Usually they have some kind of sacrifice that has to be performed. There must be some sacrifice to appease the gods or God. Some in their religions have said that the gods need to have a virgin girl thrown into a volcano. In the early days of Christianity in Egypt, even, they had this superstition, if you will, of throwing a virgin girl into the Nahr Nil, into the Nile River, to appease the river god so that they would be assured that they're going to have good crops, that the water's going to run and take care of them. Otherwise, they would be afraid the river won't run because the river god is not happy with us. And they would throw these virgin girls into the river to drown. Throughout the history of religions, we find that there are these sacrifices. Sometimes they want a sacrificial lamb or some other animal to be put on an altar and slaughtered and then burned. And then this smoke or whatever is supposed to reach their gods. In the Quran, Allah denies this categorically, saying that it's not the smoke that reaches him, but it's your act of piousness. So when the Muslim is asked to sacrifice the animal, it's not because of appeasing the gods or God in this sense. Rather, it is so that the meat reaches the poor, the indigent, the impoverished. And this is an act of sacrifice from the individual. Yes, I have to spend my money to buy the animal. We have to sacrifice him. But then when we take the meat, we make sure to give it out to the people to eat it. It's not just a waste, that burning up flesh for some god. This was made clear in the Quran as well. And salvation comes to the person not by these acts, but rather by something that's inside of the person when he does the act. As an example, when a person prays and they stand and bow and prostrate in front of their Lord, they receive mercy from him. But it isn't because of the act, the physical act. It's because of what's inside the person while he does it. If he's sincere with his God, then he receives this mercy. The same is true for fasting. Muslims fast the month of Ramadan. And in the month of Ramadan, the Muslim avoids eating, drinking, and intimate relations with his spouse. He doesn't do this during the daylight hours. But what makes it a source of mercy for him is not that he's gone without food and drink, but rather it's what's inside of him while he did it. Because consider the person who couldn't stand up for prayer. Let's say they're crippled or they're in a wheelchair, something like this. They wouldn't be able to stand, would they? Nor could they possibly bow or prostrate on the ground. And the one who has some disease or some problem in the stomach, they're not able to fast. So what about them? And how would they attain this same kind of rahmah or mercy? The one who goes in pilgrimage, and what they're doing here is going on the Hajj or Umrah, and they're going all the way to Mecca, they're sacrificing and they're performing these rituals according to the way of Abraham and his son Ishmael. How would they get mercy from this? And again, it's going to depend on what's inside of them and their sincerity while they do it. Finally, I'd like to refer also to something called zakat, or the purification of wealth by distribution of a certain portion of a person's wealth every year to those who are impoverished. So feeding the poor and taking care of the indigent, helping the orphans, all of this gets mercy for a person from his Lord. But it's not just the act, but rather what's inside while doing it. What is the attitude of the individual? I'd like to refer to something to help you better understand this. When I first came into Islam, I heard a story that Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, told. He told about three people who come on the Day of Judgment. One of them is asked, "What did you do with the life that God gave you, the favors that he gave you?" He said, "Oh, I used it to fight in your cause. And I was a mighty fighter and warrior in Islam. And as such, I died and was martyred for you, O Allah." Then he'd be told, "No, you did it so people would say you were a mighty warrior, a soldier." And they said it. Now, you've had your reward. From where? From the people. Therefore, he doesn't get Allah's mercy, and he's dragged on his face into the fire of hell. Now, another person would be brought and asked the similar question, what he did with his life and the favors that Allah gave him. And he's going to say that, oh, you know, I got knowledge. I was a scholar for Islam, and I learned the Quran, and I taught the Quran. And then he'd be told, no. No, you're lying. You did it so the people would say you were a scholar. You've already had your reward. No mercy now. So he'll be dragged on his face into hell. Another, the third, is brought and asked a similar question. He's going to say similarly that, oh, yes, I did everything for Allah, and I was receiving great wealth, and I spent all this wealth for the cause of Allah and did these charitable acts, noble deeds with this wealth that I distributed. He'll be told, no, you're lying. You did it so the people would say that you were generous. And they said it. So again, he's had his reward with the people, but not from Allah. No mercy for him, and be dragged on his face into the fire of hell. So it means that other human beings really will not be able to judge you, will they? You may not look all that righteous to somebody else, but Allah will know what's inside of you. Similarly, you may look very righteous to others, but Allah, again, knows what's inside. And as such, that person, he doesn't receive this mercy. So this rahmah, this mercy, can be general and it can be specific. When we say Rahim, it's very specific, and this is going to be now for those believers on the Day of Judgment, when it's becoming evident now who the real believers, those who had the good heart, tried their best, believed in God, they did their best, then they'll get this specific mercy, and that's called the Rahim. Now, I'm going to let you reflect on that. I've got something really exciting to tell you about when we come back after the break. But I want to break out for a minute, think about what I was talking about, and then we're going to be right back after this. Stay right there. We'll be right back. Assalamu alaikum. I'm Yusuf Estes, your host here on Facets of Islam, and we're talking about one of the beautiful facets of Islam, maybe one of the most beautiful of all, is called Rahmah, or the mercy in Islam. We've talked about it from the standpoint that there is something called mercy in Islam. There's this overwhelming forgiveness, if you will, or mercy, or graciousness, benevolence of Almighty God. All of this we're trying to wrap into really one word, rahmah. We've also mentioned that there's another word similar from the same root, rahim, specifically for those who come to the right belief. They do the deeds of righteousness. They have begged to be forgiven for any sins, and then they're entitled to this Rahim on the Day of Judgment. But generally speaking, we're going to talk now about this subject of Rahmah from the standpoint of the Quran itself. In the Quran, we find a statement in there talking about the Rahmah to the Alameen. And it says that in fact that it is none other than the Prophet who's coming with this message of mercy. And it says that Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the mercy to the Alameen. Now, a lot of people translate that and say he's the mercy to the world or he's mercy to mankind. But in fact, the word Alameen is meaning two worlds. Two worlds. I want to talk about that just for a minute. In Islam, we know that Allah created angels. He created them from light. And Allah created them without any free will. They have no choice in the matter. The next creation that Allah made after angels is called jinn. And these are made from a smokeless fire. Again, that's why you don't see them. There's no smoke involved, but there's heat. These jinn also exist in a parallel world to us. And they also have free will, just like humans. The next creation of Allah is the human being, starting with Adam. And Allah created Adam from dirt or dust. And then he gave Adam the same as he had given these jinn, which is free choice. Along the way, I would like to also mention another part of Allah's mercy in the Quran. There's a whole chapter. I wish you would read it. I wish you would take the time to sit and enjoy this chapter of the Quran, chapter 55. Surah Al-Rahman, the chapter of mercy. And Allah begins talking about His mercy right from the beginning. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Ar-Rahman. And He says He is the All-Merciful. And He's the one who sent down this Quran in full knowledge. He's the one who knows this recitation because it's His own speech. And He's talking to you. He's talking to me. Read it. And then notice as you go along, there's this one ayah that just keeps coming back up again. This one ayah surfaces back up. Then all of a sudden, it's like every other ayah is this same ayah or verse, this same verse. Keeps coming back. What is it? A'udhu billahi min shaitan rajim. It says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمْ أَتُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the favors, the ni'mah, favors of your Lord are you two then going to deny? It says two, by the way. Allah says, kadhiban, two liars. Why? Because Allah is speaking not only to the human beings here, He's speaking to the jinn as well. Because you see, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has been sent to both worlds, to the jinn and to the mankind. There's another chapter in the Quran, you can verify what I just said. Look it up, chapter 72 in the Quran. It's called Surah Al-Jinn. Explains how the jinn heard this recitation of Quran and recognized it to be from their Lord as well. And some of them, the jinn, by the way, are Muslims. Some are Christians, some are Jews, some are fire worshippers, some are disbelievers, just like human beings. But Allah keeps asking them and us, which of the favors will you two then deny? And after that, you think, and look at what He said right before that. He's telling so many of the scientific facts that we know today. Go to the book and read it for yourself. He's saying about the two seas that come together, yet they never mix. They contain different consistencies. They contain different temperatures, different salinity, different amount of salt, different life, different vegetation, and it just doesn't ever cross over. There's a barrier, and He talks about that. He talks about so many things here. You should read it. When He talks about, for instance, and I love this one, go to verse number 30, and He's telling you again the statement, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. And then right after that, He says He's going to deal with you two prominent groups. He's going to deal with you. And then He says it again, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the favors now of your Lord are you going to deny, you two guys, you two groups of jinn and mankind? Now what He says. Just in case you weren't sure He's talking to jinn and mankind, He says, now, O you assembly of jinn and you assembly of mankind, come together, both of you, and try. Go ahead, I want you to try. Go on out. Try to get out of Earth's atmosphere. Do it. Do it. And you're never going to do it until and unless you come up with a great and mighty power. And it's in Arabic, illa bi sultan. And then again He says, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the favors of your Lord will you two groups then deny? And now look what He says. He says, a flame of fire and smoke coming out here. Talking about what? What's He talking about? And again, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of the favors of your Lord will you then deny? You too. Now, has this hit you yet, what He's described? When we want to go out of Earth's atmosphere, and we do that now, how do we do it? With a slingshot? No. Catapult? No. Huh? A wind-up toy? No. We use a rocket ship. And what do we use for fuel for the rocket ship? Fire? Flame? Lots of smoke? Is it describing that? Think. And He says, a great and mighty authority or power, Sultan. When you purchase fuel for your car, what do you buy? A liter, yeah? A liter of fuel. Or a gallon, depending on what country you're in. So When they purchased the fuel for these rocket ships, how did they buy it? By the liter? Uh-uh. Gallon? Uh-uh. Quart? No. Ounce? No. They buy it by the ton. Tons and tons and tons of fuel. And it makes a horrendous flame, a giant flame that comes, a huge fire, and so much billowing smoke. Next time one of them goes off, check it out. Look at it on the news and see. Is that the description you see? And how could anybody 1,400 years ago tell you the exact description in detail of what it's going to take to put this monstrous thing, this rocket and satellites and so on in outer space? Perfect description. From who? The Rabb, the Lord, Rabbil Alameen, the Lord of the two worlds, has spoken. And he's made it clear, though, for those who will repent to him and ask for his mercy, it's there. Keep reading this chapter. Keep reading it, and you're going to be surprised, because there are two rewards for the believer, the one who repents, believes, and does the deeds of righteousness. It talks about two paradises and two gardens, and it's got two rivers, two springs, two kinds of fruit. Everything is double, 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 double. Double reward in every aspect. For those who disbelieve, it only promises them the one punishment, hellfire, which is plenty. You know, that's horrible. But in the paradise, so many beautiful things. If you just had an idea, just a small idea of what Islam is talking about with this rahmah of Allah, I do believe you'd like to consider more about Islam. Because the rahmah or mercy of Allah that's mentioned in so many of the teachings in the Quran itself, and the teachings of Muhammad, peace be upon him, is so beautiful. And it makes me, when I read it, I just feel so comfortable to know that even though I'm a sinner, I've made so many mistakes, and I never want anybody to know about them. But all of us have done so, haven't we? But there is hope, and there is mercy, and it's only going to come from the All-Merciful. The only thing stopping anybody from receiving that mercy is that they refuse it. And they refuse it by denying the merciful. They're denying our Rahman. And he says, Fabi Aya Allah Irabbikum Atukadiban. Which of the favors of your Lord will you two then deny? We ask for Allah's mercy, his Rahmah, upon all of his creation, and to give the guidance so they can wake up and receive it. Acknowledge there really is only one God, and he is our Rahman, he is the merciful. And that is this facet, this beautiful facet of the facets of Islam. Till next time, this is Yusuf Estes asking for mercy for all of us. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.